Bless the Lord. In the beginning, the Lord created heaven and earth. Yeah, that is a... That's like a modern way of saying, amen. He didn't have to. Everything was perfect in heaven. As the song that we sing says, he had angels at his fingertips. Yet there must have been something slightly missing for him to speak life into existence. It wasn't enough for him to just be surrounded by angels, surrounded by all the heavenly beings, even the angels that day and night they say, holy, 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 kadosh, 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 and they give them all praise and all glory 24 hours a day, if there are days up there, and 7 days a week, if there are weeks up there, just constant adoration and angels to do his biddings. But apparently there was something still missing. He still, at the fullness of time, said, yehi or, let there be light. And I believe there is revelation when we look at the creation account in Genesis 2, how he created man in the garden. We see revelation because it says that man should not be alone. Man should not be alone. And we know that the written Torah is really just the earthly, the written revelation of heavenly truths. And when we see man in the garden, man should not be alone. And God puts the man to sleep and brings forth his bride, brings forth his wife, brings forth woman from his rib, so he would not be alone, so he would have, as it says, as a helper. We see that, I see it, in spirit, because the Son of God, we have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit, in the beginning. But could it be that the Son, it was not enough for the Son to be alone, and just like Adam needed a bride, us guys, we don't do well by ourselves sometimes. Could it be that in heaven, the Son of God, he needed a bride? And that is why God spoke creation into being. Because at the fullness of time, as he spoke all of these things, and animals and the plants and the lights and the sky and the ground and the oceans and all these things, he did one thing differently. He took his hands and he went into the dirt. And symbolic of how a potter forms clay into an image. He forms humankind into his image. And he breathes his life into man, into humankind. But the man was not to be alone. He places the man in the garden. And it was not for the man to be alone. And I believe that that is a physical manifestation of the Son of God in heaven, the man, the Son of God in heaven, who needed a bride. And you are his bride. And just like when God breathed the breath of life into this man, into Adam, when we accept the wedding proposal from the Son of God. See, he doesn't just ask you to be a believer, he asks you to be a bride. He doesn't just say, will you follow me? He says, will you marry me? And when we do that, just like God breathed, it says, breathed his breath into Adam, into the first man. When we say, I do, to our heavenly husband, he breathes the spirit into us. The fact that we see the breath breathed into Adam is symbolic of the greater thing that when we accept the proposal of our husband. He breathes his spirit into us. He breathes his spirit into us. And we become the bride. We become the bride. And the scripture in Genesis 2 calls the bride the helper. The helper. Ezer, the helper. The helper. Now, I have a lot of pet names for my wife. Honey, sweetie, love, cutie, whatever it is. I tell you, in my top 10 list of pet names for Sue, helper is not in there. It just seems so utilitarian. But there's intimacy in that word for helper, because in that is also support and comfort and protection. In fact, I believe that when Yeshua was about to go to his Father and he promised the Holy Spirit, and some translations say that the Holy Spirit is the helper, I believe that's a similar mentality. This is why I always say that the husband, you know, the wives, it says, wives, listen, obey your husbands. But I say, husbands, listen to your wives, what they have to say. Because you are as the Christ in the home. You are as the Messiah in the home. But the brides, our beloveds are like the Ruach. They're like the Holy Spirit. And I believe there's something too that Yeshua called the Holy Spirit, the helper, and the comforter. And that's what we see the bride called. And just like Adam was not to be alone, and that God created all these things and all these animals in the garden in looking for a helper for Adam. And I was like, nope, 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 nope. I believe. And then he created the bride out of Adam, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's similar. I believe that Yeshua in the heavenlies had all of the, like the animals in the garden represent like the angels in heaven. And Yeshua said, nope, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough, God, not good enough. I need a bride, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And that's you. And that's you. But there's a mystery in this helper, that the bride is the helper of the husband. And we see an incredible revelation here, if you catch it, in the Garden of Eden. Now, when we think of Eden, when we think of the Garden of Eden, what's the word that's most synonymous with Eden? Paradise? What else? Forbidden fruit, okay. I was going more for the paradise side of it. Like when we think of of Eden, we think of heaven. It's like heaven on earth. It was perfect. It was idyllic. It was creation in its perfection before man messed it up. We see it as this bit of paradise, and we see it as almost like heaven on earth. But there's revelation in the verse that we're showing right now. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to tend it. Let me ask you a question. If Eden was so perfect, why would it need cultivating? Why would it need tending? Why would Adam have to work anything? Normally, when we think of Eden, like Adam is just communing with God, and they're walking by the river, and they're looking at all the fishies that are jumping up in the river. You know, and the pictures we have are so like idyllic and utopian, but there's a revelation in that Adam was called to tend to this garden. In other words, is it perfect? Yes. Is it God's creation? Yes, but it's incomplete. If it was complete, it wouldn't need work. It wouldn't need cultivating. And ultimately, Adam and Eve were called to cultivate this thing. And I tell you right now that this is the kingdom, because the Garden of Eden is a symbol of the kingdom of God. There's a quote by someone. If I remembered who it was, I would tell you, but I don't. But I will tell you, it's a quote that it says that God gave us the privilege of completing what he has intentionally left incomplete. And what we see here, where Adam and Eve were to tend to the garden and cultivate this thing and grow it and water it and feed it and just tend to the garden as gardeners. What I see that is like what Paul says in Corinthians, we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. We are called to partner with God to cultivate the garden. And we're not used to work. You know, often we think of work in the terms of salvation, but there ain't no work for salvation. You can't earn your salvation. Adam didn't need to do anything. He was put into this. He was created to be put into the garden. But once he was in the garden, he had to cultivate it. He had to tend to it. He had to work the thing to perfect what God, it was still perfect, but he had to perfect it, if that makes any sense. And that is what we do. God puts us into the kingdom when he saves us to cultivate it, to tend to it, to work in partnership with him. Every person, when you accept the Lord, it's as if Adam is put back into the garden again. You are given a garden. I got a garden. I got a garden. You are given a bit of the kingdom of God, and God says, tend to this, cultivate this, grow this. This is mine. Let's work together to make this something. And that is a reality of the kingdom. I would say that when I first accepted the Lord, the first garden that God gave me to cultivate was my marriage. That was a garden. It's not just a marriage, it's a garden. It's a garden. It's the Garden of Eden that God gave me to cultivate. And it doesn't mean that in the cultivation process, you know, there's a whole lot more better horticulturists in this place than me. You know, but when you're tending to a garden, sometimes you got to remove some weeds. Sometimes you got to remove some rocks. Sometimes you got to plow some soil. Sometimes you got to till it to loosen it up. Sometimes you got to feed it. You got to water it. It's created by God. It's a garden. But it needs work. It needs work. And this is what God calls you to be. And the greatest blessing that I was given as a new believer was my bride and a marriage to cultivate forever. I guess the next garden I was given was when we first attended a Messianic synagogue in New Jersey. You know, and I started out just doing the announcement sheets. That was my job. That was my role. That was my ministry to print the announcement sheets. We actually printed them out and handed them out. And that was my garden to cultivate. It wasn't just a job. It was a garden. When you accept the Lord, God will give you something and say, okay, work with me on this. And it's a holy thing. God wants us to partner with him to affect this world, to change this world. And what you have, it's not just a job, it's a garden. It's not just a block you live on, it's a garden. It's not, you know, there's this one woman I was ministering to recently. I went to visit her at her home. Her home is in a nursing home. And she was just telling me how she hates it so much. I'm like, daughter of the king. You know, she's 80 plus years old. Daughter of the king. Daughter, you're not looking right. This is a garden that God gave you to work in, that God gave you to cultivate. There's a field here. There's a field here. Just recognize that. Recognize that. Mishkan David is a garden. And God said, cultivate it and tend to it. And it doesn't mean that there aren't weeds that need to be dealt with and things like that, issues to deal with. But you know what? It's part of the kingdom system. You know, Yeshua spoke about it when he spoke about the soil, the different soil. He said that there's soil that's you know, if there's seed on soil that's by the side of the road, the birds are going to come eat it up, and that's kind of like the enemy coming and snatching it away. And there's soil that is on the, it's rocky, and you know, it initially receives the seed, but there's no foundation, so it dissipates. And then there's soil that's thorny because all the anxieties just snuff it out, but then there's good soil. I tell you, when you're working the land, you're going to experience all of that. You're going to experience all of that. But it doesn't mean just give up on the soil. Sometimes with rocky soil, you got to remove some rocks. Sometimes with thorny soil, you got to cut off some thorns. God is calling all of us to work that land, to work that garden. You got a garden. You got a garden. And he's calling you to work it. You're like, well, you know, I've been working it, but I don't see the fruit. Well, is the tree mature yet? You know, it actually says in the Torah that you can't even eat the fruit for 5 years. There's a waiting period. You know, before there's mature fruit on the tree's got to be mature. Before the tree is matured, it has to be tended to. It has to be cared for. It has to be watered and it has to be fed. Before it is even mature, it has to be planted. Before it is planted, the ground has to be tilled. Before it is tilled, the ground has to be plowed. There's work to do. And people want to see fruit. Well, I don't see the fruit. You know what's an example of fruit that came too quickly? It's that parable of the seed that hit the ground that was rocky. It shot up. It accepted the seed originally, but there's no depth. Well, I don't see the fruit. Well, maybe it's not time yet. Maybe if you saw the fruit right now, it would be very short term. And right now, the focus is depth. The focus is health. But God has called us to work the land with him. And let me tell you something. There's a little secret here in this Eden story. Before Adam was put in, it says there was no man to cultivate the ground, but a mist. Come on. A mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. In other words, let me tell you something. When God gives you a land to cultivate, I got to tell you something. He pre-treated that land. He pre-treated that land. There's a mist that came up from the ground. Before there was anything growing, he put his mist on it. And I tell you something, if God gives you, and I know he gave you, a garden, that garden is pre-treated by the Lord. If the Lord doesn't build a house, the laborers labor in vain. But if he gives you a garden, that is meant to produce fruit. And it's pre-treated by the Lord. It's pre-treated by the Lord. We are co-laborers with him. So what is the garden that God gave you? What is the garden? It's your marriage. What is the garden that God gave you? It's your family. What is the garden that God gave you? It's maybe you do have a ministry. Maybe God is calling you to ministry. Maybe there is a specific job or a role for you in ministry. What is the garden that God gave you? Maybe it's doing the announcements here. But God calls us to work with him in this. It's not all easy. Eden needs cultivating. Eden needs cultivating. And the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. And God is looking for us to partner with him and do the work. And do the work. I just want to give a little bit of a testimony of what happened recently. For those that were involved in this, the little gardeners in this place, I just want to read about this. This is just a little testimony. I was going to save this for the announcements. But this is a blessing. This is a blessing. So a couple of folks, and I won't even name them, because we'll give the glory to the Lord. So somebody came to me, or I guess it was a year ago or something like that, and said, you know, the government has these grants, and they give money out. You know, we should apply for it. There's a nonprofit security grant, right? And we're in a new place, and we're looking to up the security. That door is dreadful. We know that, right? So we're looking to have better, you know, better security system, better doors, you know, all these various things. So a small group got together and worked hard. Worked hard on this grant and getting it out there. And meeting the timeline and meeting the deadline, what they needed, and giving them all the pages and all the details and all the background information and why there's a risk and all these types of things. And we sent it out there, and literally on the day of Simchat Torah, I got the letter back. You ready for this? Mishkan David was granted $97,000. Don't get all happy. This is for the security. This is not for your food. We got a food pantry for that. $97,000. And you know what it said on the bottom? The last paragraph is so beautiful. It almost seems like this is not like a like boilerplate type of letter. It seems like it's personal. It says, once again, congratulations on receiving the NSGP award, Nonprofit Security Grant Program. Your attention to detail in the application process distinguished your application from others and resulted in a felicitous grant award. I don't even know what felicitous means, but it sounds good. So bless the Lord. When we work, God is calling us to work. And listen, it's going to be a busy year with this, with $97,000 that we have to spend on security. You know, it's going to be a busy year. And don't worry, all you contractor people. We're not saying you have to do it. We're going to hire people to do it. But but I will need help. We're going to need help. We're going to need help managing it in some capacity. We're going to need help. I want to encourage you that there's a garden here also for you to help to cultivate. Bless the Lord. So this is really the meaning of Eden. That he plants them in the garden, not just to, you know, bask in his presence, but to work it with him, with him. And there's such blessing in that. And bringing it down to the personal, every single person that accepts the Lord, every single person is given a garden. Because Adam being put into the garden is just a symbol, it's just a foreshadow. And having the breath put into him is a symbol of Yeshua accepting you, and you accepting him, and him putting his spirit into you. And now you are put in the Garden of Eden, a garden, to work with him. And your garden doesn't have to just be a congregation. Your garden is your marriage. Your garden is your neighborhood. Your garden is your block. Your garden is your home. Your garden is perhaps your work, your secular job. And God is saying to till it. And God is saying to cultivate it. And God is saying to work it. And he is with you. We are co-laborers with God. With God. Bless the Lord. And the harvest is indeed plentiful. 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 Bless the Lord.